Hey everyone, I'm Lily.
And I'm Britt.
And you're listening to Lady Shit with Lily and Britt.
Episode 25!
Yeah!
Hello!
Hey everyone, Britt was just saying we are like a quarter of the way through.
To 100. Yeah, I feel like 25 is like a milestone.
We always say like, this is a milestone.
Yeah, everything's a milestone to us. But 25 is a milestone because that's like a significant number of podcast episodes.
You know what I just realized is we started out this podcast drinking and then we just stopped.
Because it was harder.
To like stay on track or remember things.
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah,
everything was harder when we were drinking.
Yeah, everything's harder for me even when I'm not drinking though, because we just had to do a retake because I yelled at episode 24.
Yeah, I'll make that the blooper.
No, well, I'll do something better and actually funny.
I'll make
instead
a better,
of just my own forgetfulness.
I'll make a better mistake.
I'll make a better mistake. Yeah, so this is really exciting.
Yeah, so today we have like our first ever like interviewee. Like we had Riley on in season one and he kind of co-hosted with us in the episode on co-ed sports, but this is the first time we're doing like a legit interview.
Yeah,
we're so professional.
Oh my god, I'm so proud. Well, it took us 25 episodes
to get there,
but we got there.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that I think a lot of people struggle with, and I think one of our listeners was suggesting this be a topic. is that this idea of like creating boundaries and maintaining boundaries and being able to stand up for our needs and our values and be assertive. And one of the people who I immediately think of is Nicole Perry, who is a registered psychologist in Edmonton and a very good friend of mine. She specializes in working with boundaries with clients. And so this was just kind of the perfect person to have on our show to talk a little bit about it. And I think it went really well. She had a lot of great insights to share, and even Britt and I were saying, we're therapists too and work with these areas, but it's so nice having someone who works with this as an expertise and to hear her own like way she phrases things that just like clicked for me too. Do you know what I mean? And like something I'm gonna take to work on for myself and in my own work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I hope you guys enjoy this interview.
Yeah. And definitely check out all our stuff we plug at the end. Welcome, Nicole. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're really excited. As we were just telling you, you are our first interviewee. So thank you for sticking with us through some of the technical difficulties. When we first started this podcast, I know you had reached out and you said, you know what, if you are ever interested in having me come on to talk about boundaries and assertiveness and that kind of thing, let me know. And I had told you, don't worry, I already have you down. So I knew with Britt that when we first started this and we were thinking, who should we interview? You were the first person to come to mind. So we're so excited to have you here today.
Yay, it's finally happening.
Yeah, only like one season and a half into it, but we'll do it right. We'll try to do it right. First off, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and your job? I know you're like a feminist therapist. Can you just tell some of our listeners a little bit about yourself, I guess?
That's pretty much the good sum. I'm a feminist therapist and I work primarily with boundaries as one of my big issues. I also do a lot of like shame resilience and healing trauma. But today we're talking about boundaries. So yeah.
Awesome. So boundaries and like having healthy relationships is something that I hear a lot about. Like, I feel like it's kind of becoming a bit of a buzz term. Can you tell us about what that actually means, or like what a healthy relationship or like good boundaries looks like?
Yes. So this is something that I probably spent years even trying to figure out the definition of. And by the end of it, I created my own. because I wasn't happy with how it was defined out there. So the definition that I created about boundaries is that it's the external expression of your internal limit. So basically what that means is if you're feeling anxious about, let's say, going to a social event, you're going to be listening to that and maybe asking along a friend or checking in whether it's a right fit for you. If you're feeling angry about something that someone did to you, maybe you express that as a boundary by saying, hey, that wasn't okay for me, or choosing if that's a good situation for you to be in. So it's always about listening inside and then finding a way to honor that as a boundary.
Wow, I feel like when you said that definition, Britt and I both were just like, oh my God, that was amazing. Can you repeat that again? I feel like I want to like nail that into my own brain. Yeah. So that was
the external expression of your internal limit.
How did you come up with that?
Yeah, well, because I started to notice in a lot of the older books that I was reading that boundaries were being framed as sort of more, well, the books were talking about it as this is how to set boundaries. And those books were very how-to based on someone somewhere's view on basically how to act assertively. And sometimes acting assertively was working for the clients that I was working with, but not always, because a lot of the times, especially for women, acting passively was actually the safest thing to do, the right thing to do in certain scenarios, or acting aggressively was absolutely called for. And so instead of just following someone else's idea about how we're supposed to act in certain situations, I was getting them to begin listening to what was right for them, what their emotions and body was calling for them to do. And that led to, I think like a lot more feelings of people feeling like this is right for me. People coming home to themselves.
People coming home to themselves. So it really is like, I love that. I feel like I'm just, everything you're saying, I'm like, yes, I want to write this down. So there's really this important piece of like kind of reflecting in and tuning into yourself to seeing what is important for me to establish a boundary. Like that's a first step.
That's absolutely the heart of it. And so it might be about listening to the body, which is something we're so cut off from. That's a huge part of the work. It's about listening to our emotions. And then I'm talking to people about listening to their values too. So when we're lost and we're trying to figure out where do I go next, it's like, well, what's really important to you in your life? You know, what are those guiding things that, you know, with everything that could be important to you, whether it's like spending time with friends or going to work or your health or adventure or whatever it might be, what is the most central thing at this time in your life that's really guiding you in your life?
I love that. I'm just like, I'm like, not zoning out. That sounds very rude, but like,
just like, I'm just like going along to the melody of my voice.
Yeah. I'm just like really like taking a moment to like let all that sink in. So if someone has trouble with this, what does it look like when someone doesn't set these firm boundaries with, you know, whether it's friends, partners, coworkers, family, that kind of stuff?
Okay, well, I think everyone has trouble with this. Just to put that out there, because our culture makes it so difficult to actually set boundaries. And I work primarily with women. And so especially for women, the messages are, you know, other people over self, you know, politeness over safety, things like this that make it especially difficult for people who have been socialized as women. And then for all of us, like productivity over health is a huge message too. So everyone struggles. And then how I think it looks like for people who are really deep in that struggle is they're getting resentful. And that might be coming out as first irritability at the people in their lives that are closest to them. So that could be like partners, kids, etc. Or it could be that frustration in their jobs or close friendships. And then that resentment builds until it's eating at them because they're giving so much of themselves that they're really not having much left. Exhaustion and burnout then get to be big clues as well. Because as they're crossing so much of, or they're giving beyond capacity, that's probably a better way to say it, giving more than they actually have inside, then it doesn't take long before that starts to get to us. And their health might be deteriorating, or they might just be experiencing those signs of burnout.
That's so interesting, because I think a lot of the things you described, people might see that as the issue. You know, they might think like, oh, I'm just so irritable lately, or I'm really burnt out, you know, that kind of thing. And they might not realize that what is underpinning all of that is actually like a boundary problem. So I think that's so interesting that I'm sure a lot of people don't even realize that boundaries is kind of what's underneath their struggle, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so multifaceted, because it's like we, you know, personally have to kind of struggle with this issue of maybe I give more than is in my capacity. Then we also live in a culture that asks and rewards us for doing that. And then, you know, and so on and so on and so on. So it's not easy, both, you know, removing ourselves from those toxic environments and then doing the personal work that, you know, how did I, you know, continue to give in situations where maybe I even am not being asked to do that. So it's hard work, that, yeah, I think we're all trying to find our way through.
Yeah, for sure.
So I know one of the things you mentioned is that you do like shame and resilience groups. When I think of boundaries, I'm just starting to think of, you know, why do we kind of overexert ourselves? And I'm wondering if there's just a shoulding there, like I should be doing this, I should be giving more, I should be giving to my kids, taking care of other people, and not really looking out for myself, but looking out for others. I'm just wondering how boundaries might come up in some of your shame groups, or how shame and boundaries are related, and if they are.
Yes, there are 100% issues that go together.
100%.
I could not exaggerate that more. Because I run two groups. One is about boundaries and one is about shame, and they always overlap to some degree. And I think it's, yeah, because as people start to set boundaries, let me get this clear in my mind, as people start to set boundaries, what they eventually come into contact with is feelings of shame. Like, oh, I'm not allowed to take this time for myself, or I don't deserve that. And so we start to work on those underlying feelings of shame that says, like, everyone else is more important than me. Or if I don't do this for other people, then they won't love me. I won't be accepted. Like, if I'm not nice, I won't have a place in this group of friends. And I think especially for women, that's one of the messages. I have to be nice in order to be accepted. So that's how that piece comes into contact. And then in the shame group, yeah, it kind of comes up too. We're working on shame, and as we're working on healing that, it's like, okay, right. And part of healing the shame is saying, and I'm allowed to have space for me. Part of bringing in a compassionate, you know, kind voice is the being allowed to treat myself as well as I would treat a friend. And that means, like, I'm allowed to rest when I need to rest. I'm allowed to go to the bathroom when I need to go to the bathroom. Like, I'm allowed to have food when I am hungry. Doing those basic things that, you know, we would want anyone in our lives to do, that we often don't give for ourselves.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me because it's like, these are such basic things and we would be kind of compassionate to other people. But like you said, for women, it's especially hard because there's this feeling like we don't deserve it, or we're not being nice. We're somehow being, I don't know, is it like aggressive or not ladylike or mm-hmm. not a good woman? Like there's definitely things. This gender role component, isn't there?
Yeah, all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you hear it directly and indirectly, like people being told those things, whether in childhood or even now. And I get surprised or not surprised hearing those things. But yeah, it still happens that people are told at their work or in their lives that, oh, like that's not okay to say what you need or ask for what you want. So it's no wonder that people have a hard time.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's like, you know, going back to the gender part, that's what I'm kind of like really thinking about now, is how women are really almost like set up in society to struggle with this, because yeah. we're told you should be compromising, you should be sacrificing. It's all about the interpersonal and not what you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
I also kind of wonder, too, do you find that there is a conflict sometimes between people where maybe because of like their cultural background, there is a value in having like a very like involved family or that kind of thing, but then the person is struggling with asserting boundaries?
So it often happens that, I get clients in who their family, idea of boundaries is different than their own, which brings up a lot of guilt. And it may be, that's just been the family pattern, which could be cultural partly, or it could be, for whatever reason, that's just sort of been passed down through the generations of this is how we do things. And so then I'm working with that person on, yeah, again, still tuning in to what feels right for you and what's within your value system as well. Because there are things that are passed down to us from our families as well as from all our life experiences that we do decide to hold on to and integrate into our value system because it's been important to us, and we get to keep that. And there's other things that have been passed on to us that as we check that out inside, we realize is just not at all a fit. And actually, you know, when we check into it on a body level, you know, maybe it feels kind of suffocating, or it feels like a heavy weight. And so as we're listening to that, we have to find some way of honoring that. So that's the boundary work. And it doesn't mean honoring it necessarily by putting up a hard wall for everyone. You know, some people who are my clients have chosen to, or have had to choose to cut off members of their family because of abuse or issues in the family that have just made it impossible for them to have relationships, where other clients that I've worked with have in their families chosen a spectrum of types of relationships that have fit with their values, but that still honor their boundaries. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, totally, for sure. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that I always come back to what you say about values. Like, it depends on what the individual person wants to do, because boundaries would look like differently for different people, right? So for some people, it could be like disconnecting completely. But for other people, it could be maybe still doing that extra work, but maybe having like a different perspective or having ways to help kind of refuel their tank a bit. I know that's an analogy. I've worked with you before, Nicole, and, and on some of the stuff, and that's an analogy you've used that I've really loved, is this idea of kind of replenishing that tank, right? But that value piece is really dependent on the person's values. So it looks differently for everyone.
Yeah. And that's why it's so important for me not to say, or from another clinician or a book somewhere, to decide for that person what's best for you. Like, I could share stories about what I have done, or kind of generally what I've seen other people do, to give people idea about, you know, what in the realm might be okay for them. And and really the answer is anything they want, that's not, you know, actively harming another person. But yeah, really it comes back to exactly what you said, to what is that right thing for them. And that sometimes means that people are making decisions to live in line with their own boundaries that do disappoint and hurt others. And I say, that's okay. I know that's really different as women, particularly, that we're allowed to disappoint others. I think that's the cultural messaging that we're working against. And so I'm often giving people that permission slip, like, yeah, you're allowed to do that. And especially if we're talking about other adult members of the family or at work, et cetera, like, people can deal with those disappointments. And it's up to them to handle those. Like, our job is just to live with integrity and, you know, to do that with kindness, but not to never disappoint other people.
Yeah, I love that. I love that what you said, you know, you give them a permission slip. And I'm just curious, when you tell your clients that, I mean, for some people, I imagine they haven't had this permission slip, or they've thought, you know, I have to kind of not look out for my own needs and look out for others. And that must be like a radical thing for some people.
Yeah. I really think sometimes people are coming in and they just want someone to tell them, like, it's really okay if you don't want to go see your family this holiday, or you're allowed to stop working at that place that's making you feel terrible, or like, you don't have to go see your friend that always just makes you feel ashamed of your life. And I, you know, I joke a little bit about the permission slip because we use a lot of humor, and I'm like, do you want me to write it down for you? Like, you don't have to. And they're like, yes, it would help. but yeah, it's like, it's so many other ways, you know, they're getting this message from maybe well-meaning people or just kind of in their lives, that, oh, you just have to tough it out, be a good friend, you know, stay at that work for a year because that's what you're supposed to do, or something like that. It's your family, blood's thicker than water. I don't know, all these terrible sayings. And I'm like, it's really okay. You don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, just to, like you said, give someone that permission, like, it's like, here, take that weight off you. You don't have to carry it, right?
Yeah.
Do you find that, like you said, you work with a lot of women. Are there some, like, kind of like common reoccurring boundary issues that you tend to see a lot of?
It feels like it can go into almost any area of our lives. So whether that's like dating, workplace, time and emotional boundaries. But maybe I'll talk about emotional boundaries as being one. And so that could be, because I also work in the activist community, a fair amount. And so, I find that many of us as sensitive and caring people, you know, we're helping the members of our community, and we really care about the issues that affect us. And so we're giving a lot of emotional energy. We're doing a lot of emotional labor. And then sometimes getting into that place where, how could you say it? Like, we're not bringing the compassion toward ourselves. And so that's one big area where it's so much sending outward and not enough compassion sent inward.
Yeah, totally. I was creeping on your website the other day.
researching.
As you do.
Yeah, researching. That's a nice way of saying it. And I saw that you had written an article about setting boundaries around like pregnancy and motherhood, and that wasn't something I had ever thought of, but then once I read it, it was like, oh yeah, of course, like people just offer nonstop unsolicited comments and are like, I feel like they're always kind of pushing themselves on pregnant people, or once the baby's born they want to be really involved, and I could see that as being an area where it's really hard to like assert some boundaries.
Yeah. gosh, what could I say about that too? It's pretty wild. Like, you get these times in your life that are really important. I'm a mom also of a 4-year-old. It's hard because there's so much pressure coming from the outside that it then becomes very difficult to tune in to what do I want, especially when, well, for me, it was all entirely new and I had no idea what I wanted. And so to be able to have the space and time to get clear on that when there are so many of those outside voices, it wasn't always there. And I think that's the case for a lot of moms. Even I saw an article that was about the decision to just have one child, and someone was commenting about how they'd never even thought of the idea of only having one until much later. And it was just because there had always been that pressure there of, well, you just have two. Like, you have one, and then, okay, get ready, have your next child. Like, let's go. Like, that just was sort of the family mindset, without any ability for them to really check in and go, how is it for me to have one right now? And do I really want to have a second child? That particularly is one of those times where it's so important to tune in. The decision to have children at all, what we want that to look like. And it's often a time where we're not really afforded that space.
Totally. Yeah. I was just back home and I visited a friend who has a 2-month-old. And before I came over, she said straight up, like, hey, I am very sleepy and I have a cold, so like, you can't stay long. And she said it much nicer than that.
That sounds pretty nice. Yeah.
Yeah, clear. She was very nice about it. And like, you know, I was like, oh yeah, totally, of course. But now having like talked to you about this, I'm just like also thinking, wow, what good boundary skills for her to be able to say that and without, you know, worrying, or, you know, without worrying that she was going to come off as rude. Like, now I'm like, huh, good job. I'm going to have to text her later and be like, you're awesome.
Yeah. It's true. Sometimes those situations can really, well, for me, it did, like, force me to get clear on my own values and sort of put me in a position where I had to go, like, okay, what do I really want to have happen here? Because now it's not just me that's on the line. Like, somehow that was okay. But now it's like another human that I really love and want to protect that's on the line. And so, yeah, a lot of women find that motherhood is sort of the first time in their lives where they're really setting boundaries. And it's also a time where they're like the most exhausted they've ever been. And so it gets to be a time that's really, really challenging. Because sometimes they have friends that are like, wow, that was really amazing. But sometimes they'll get people who don't understand that, who want to push back to how it was before. or will make things extra challenging for them.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, Nicole, this is something I've encountered with some of my own clients, and sometimes I'm not quite sure how to explain it, but this idea, you know, you say of going inward, looking at our values, and sometimes it's hard when you're taking care of other people like children. But a question that has come up even in my own life with some of my friends is, well, aren't you being selfish? Aren't you being selfish by tapping into your own needs and, you know, not taking care of other people, that kind of thing? I'm just curious if that's ever come up in your work and how you address that with clients.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm trying to think how I normally address it, because that's the fear, right? Is like, oh, if I start to listen to myself, like I'll be selfish. I think there's a few different ways that I would work with that. Like one of the ways is, well, let's just see, like I'll sort of again bring in the humor with people, like let's just try it out, and if you go in the direction of being selfish, I'll be the first to let you know. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want people to try it out and see that they can actually start to set boundaries and still be a good, caring person. Because often that fear of I'll become this uncaring person who just forgets about other people is so big in their minds. But once we actually start setting boundaries and see that, oh no, like I do still, think of others. And actually maybe I have more capacity to keep thinking of others because I'm not so burnt out. The evidence helps us.
Ah, okay.
So that might be part of it. Like, let's just see. It's a bit of reality testing.
Yeah, doing a bit of an experiment and having them kind of prove to themselves that it actually enhances their relationships and their lives.
Yeah, exactly. And even just reframing that idea of selfish, like, is it selfish or is it self-sufficient?
Oh, yes. That's another one. I'm just going to take notes after this episode. Is it selfish or is it self-sufficient? I'm just going to repeat things back that are now mantras.
I think I have a handout that actually has that as a title, so I won't say I made that one up.
Okay. But it is really good. It is really good.
Yeah. Yeah, we can change that language, because that's the shame voice that says it's a selfish thing to do. Like someone said that to them along the way, or they've picked that up, as we all do. Like no one's born thinking like, oh, tuning into my own needs is selfish. But somewhere along the line, like we've got that feeling that turning towards our needs, this really healthy thing of sort of checking in with ourselves, we are made to feel like, oh, that's icky. And probably because we had an experience where we started to tune into ourselves and someone gave us, you know, a really shaming look or made us feel like, that's not right. And then we had to just turn our full attention back out to them. And so, you know, we adapted and we did what we needed to do. And I have lots of clients who were, you know, were really adaptive, creative kids and put 100% of their attention on the families that required that attention, let's say because of there were mental health issues in the family unit, and they adapted to those and did what they needed to do. But now as adults, there is room to start to turn toward themselves in the ways that, you know, probably should have happened as children. But because they were shamed of doing that as kids, it feels wrong. And so now we're learning, oh no, you can do that. Even though it feels wrong, you're just doing this healthy thing. You're just turning toward yourself. And that's actually a good behavior. That just means you're setting boundaries, you're listening to you. And that's the thing that got missed in childhood, but should be there.
Yeah, something you just said there reminded me of like an article I read where it was saying how, having like boundary problems, that's something we learn, right? Because it's something that society teaches us. And the article was kind of saying how, like, pretty quickly kids learn how to say no, and anything they don't want to do, they're gonna say no or they're gonna scream no. But then at some point, that just gets kind of like stomped out of you that you can't say no to things you don't want to do, right? So it is totally just like a learned behavior, and we're not born, like you said, thinking of others first and not tuning into what we want.
Yeah, absolutely. I call it like the adaptation to a challenging environment. So, yeah. Now, maybe being in a healthier environment where we have people in our lives, let's hope, or let's say, that actually would accept our no's, and that would make space for us to be whole people, we can start practicing that.
I think that's a really hopeful message, Nicole, because a lot of this is, yes, internal and our values and going inward, but some of this is shifting, people around us and finding people who will, like you said, accept those no's. And because it's a learned thing, we can do some unlearning and relearning. So there's the possibility of building on boundaries and creating better boundaries for ourselves.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of a neat thing, neat and hard, maybe I'll say. I get excited, but it's also a lot of grief about setting boundaries. Is as adults, then we can begin to have that boundary setting help us decide who earns a place in our life and who doesn't. I know. Sometimes it takes our friends and the people we've chosen a little bit of adjustment, but most good people will adjust, and will be happy to go, oh yeah, of course I'll, just stay for a short time, or I'll be, happy to bring over some food for you or do what you need. And we'll see that they will want to respect our boundaries and understand what our yeses and nos really are. And then there'll be people in our lives who will, time after time, continue to push back. And so then the journey becomes finding those people who we want to have continued close relationships with.
Yeah, I think that is a perfect segue in kind of how we wanted to wrap this interview up. And that's, I mean, it's a pretty big question, but what we were thinking of is just how do we improve our boundaries? And I think part of that is exactly what you're already saying. It's inviting people in our lives who are safe. It's creating an environment where we feel safe. But I'm just curious if you can kind of speak to how we could, even in small ways, start to develop our boundaries or strengthen our boundaries.
Yes, I like how you're reminding about starting small, because I've talked about some big ideas here, and it's a good reminder that when we're setting boundaries, usually I'm talking to people about choosing one area of their lives. So it could be work, family, friends. So let's go with friends. And then one type of boundary. It could be financial, physical, emotional. Let's go with emotional. And then, doing something within that. So within friends, setting emotional boundary. Okay, I'm only going to, have those in-depth emotional conversations with friends, for an hour a day, because doing emotional labor any more than that, is just too much for me at this point in time. Like, I need to give to myself. So at the hour mark, I'm gonna have a timer, I'll wrap it up, and at that point, I'm gonna say, I gotta grab dinner right now, and I need to wrap up our conversation. And probably I've talked to this friend who's my trusted ally, and I'm going to be letting them know that I'm working on my boundaries, and they're going to be on my team about it, etc., right? So we're having this conversation. I'm having this conversation with my client. We're picking one area. We're kind of setting it all up of something small that they can try out. And I'm helping them, you know, work through that little piece that they can try, do some reality testing on, and get some success in an area where they think probably that person will accept their boundaries and see that, oh yeah, you can do it. You can say no and set these limits and yeah, still be a good person. Like, look at that.
Totally. I really like how, like, that sounds very manageable, right? Like when you're trying to learn how to do something like set boundaries, you know, it might be tempting to kind of do a complete 180 and try and like redo all of your relationships and try and like do it all at once, but to
unfriend all your Facebook friends.
but to like you said, pick one person and it's like, okay, this is a safe person. I know they support me and I'm just going to try this for 1 hour, right? Like just starting small and doing something. Like that's how it turns into like a larger pattern and a larger way that you interact with others, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's easier to do that when we're catching this sooner and starting to work on our boundaries before we're totally burnt out and resentful in our relationships. So I'm often encouraging people, like, you don't have to wait. There is no like, oh yeah, it's bad enough now you can set boundaries. It's like at any point you get to start doing this work and unlearning the, you know, some of the hurtful things we've learned in our culture and undoing some of the adaptations that maybe you had to make in the ways that you grew up.
Totally. It's like you can start today.
Yeah. Good way to say that.
So before we talk about you and plug some of your stuff and your social media and stuff like that, Nicole, we just wanted to give you an opportunity to add anything we might have missed or anything on boundaries that you feel like you'd wanted to share.
Yeah, again, I think it's just that whole idea of the starting small, and that even though this is, you know, really big and seemingly complicated piece that we all struggle with, that this is something we're in together and can do. So I've got a lot of hope around this issue and why there's a lot of excitement in my voice. So yay, boundaries.
Yeah, no, we love that. We picked clearly the right person to talk about this topic. Like, you are an expert in boundaries. Mm-hmm. You recently have like an ebook on boundaries. Is that right? Did that kind of work out?
I am working on a book. And in the meantime, I have some just brief PDFs. They're like 4 pages that people can go, if they sign up for my mailing list, to download on my website.
Okay. Can you pass on your website in case there are listeners who'd want to check that out?
Yes, it's feministcounselor@edmonton.com.
Awesome. And are there, like, do you have social media if people are like, I want to hear more from this person?
Yes, she has social media. She's, like, pretty awesome on Instagram.
Yes.
What's your handles, Nicole?
So, yeah, that's probably the best place to follow me is on Instagram at this.feminist.therapist.
And perfect.
Because I write and I share things, and although I'm full for my one-on-one clients, I do have groups for the Edmonton area.
Yeah, I've been referring clients to Nicole and she's been pretty busy, which is such a, I think, testament to the great work that you do and this image of, you know, you are a feminist counselor who works with boundaries and shame, and this is such an important part or an important issue that so many people are struggling with. So I think you're really helping to have people learn about boundaries, give themselves permission, you giving them permission, and to really change their lives. So it's clear that you're doing awesome work.
Well, thanks, friend.
Yeah, no worries. Anything else, Britt?
Thank you so much. And we'll like post all of the social meds and like website information and that. So if listeners are like, I want to hear more from this person, we will make sure you can get it all.
Yes. And I encourage everyone to check out Nicole's stuff because we follow her and she posts really fantastic stuff. So check her out. And Nicole, we know you're really busy, so we appreciate you taking the time out of your day to chat with us today.
Thank you
very much.
Yeah, I know Britt and I, we're gonna probably be like, oh my god, that was so good what she said, and just do our own little our own little learnings, which we can take for our own lives, right? Because I think what's hard is sometimes in theory we know these things, we're like, oh, self-care, oh, don't be selfish, but like, yeah, like look after yourself, all these things sometimes we know in theory, but it's sometimes hard to do because of the childhood and societal messages and all that stuff. So it's nice hearing it in like a new perspective and new words to kind of reflect on our own lives. So we really appreciate that.
Glad to be here.
Awesome. Well, we will end it there. Thanks, Nicole.
Yes, thank you.
Bye.
Yay, that was so much fun. I hope that is our first of many interviews that we do on this podcast.
Yeah, we had some tech issues, which we figured out, but now we know how to do it. So stay tuned for more interviews, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as always, you can get in touch with us on Instagram, Twitter, ladyshit_pod. You can check out our website, ladyshit.ca. What else? We have an email.
ladyshitpodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you. And if you want to support us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/ladyshit.
And we haven't plugged this in a little while, but we would really appreciate if you are enjoying the podcast, if you wanted to leave a review and a rating. It just helps
and
other
subscribe.
People find us.
Yes.
And yes, please do subscribe and let your friends know. Yeah, we want to make it another 25 episodes.
Yeah, here's to the next 25.
Yeah, we don't have anything to cheers to.
Clink.
Although Britt's stomach's been rumbling, so she's probably just gonna go eat lunch.
Yep.
Awesome.
Bye
everybody.
Okay, and this is episode 25.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's a quarter of the way to 100. Okay, so volume looks good, I think. Let me just make sure compression is on your track. Tis. I
good.
Mm-hmm.
And 3, 2, 1. Episode 25!
Shit! I just told you it was 25.
And as I was saying it, I realized it was wrong. I know this sometimes sounds like I'm doing this on purpose, but I swear I'm not. Anyways, we'll redo it.